العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال جل وعلا في كلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Today the topic of my talk is: can money buy happiness? Somebody actually asked me this question, so as I said to them, I said, yes, it can. Money can buy happiness, but you should know where to get it from. Now today I want to show you how to buy happiness. You want to know how to buy happiness? Yes or no? To understand this, you need to understand that there are two kinds of hunger. There are two kinds of hunger. There's a hunger of the body, and there is a hunger of the soul. And both of these hungers have to be assuaged. They have to be filled. The hunger of the body drives this world. It's the motive force behind all that happens in the world, generally speaking. It's the reason why most people get up every morning and go to work. It's the reason for all kinds of activity in the dunya: economic activity, political activity, educational activity, research, manufacture, service. All these activities are driven by the hunger of the body. We call it by different names. We call it ambition, we call it entrepreneurship, we call it the drive to succeed. We also call it the rat race, and so on. This hunger of the body is driven by two things. The hunger of the body is driven by two things: fear and greed. Fear and greed. Fear that tomorrow I will not have enough. Fear of imaginary disaster. Fear of loss. Fear of suffering if there is no money or less money. It is this fear that drives some people to suicide when the stock exchange dips. When the stock exchange dips by 10 points, there is somebody who takes a leap from a 20th floor window. But the thing is, when that person hits the pavement, he is still worth 10 million. But that 10 million is not enough to save him from taking the ultimate step, which is haram, which is suicide. And the bigger tragedy is that that dip of 10 million, of that dip of 10 points in the stock exchange, is an illusion. It's an illusionary loss. It's an illusory loss of wealth. It's not actually money going out of the pocket. It's this unrealistic fear of poverty that drives people also to indulge in actions that surely destroy their akhirah. The fear is illusory. The actual destruction of the akhirah is real. For example, people deal in interest and they accept a declaration of war from Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they fear that they will not be able to pay for their house or have a business or so on unless they take an interest-based loan. They don't remind themselves that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who promised to provide. And He does that by His power and His strength. And that He is not dependent on you or me or anybody to fulfill His promise. They forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about fear being a driver. الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعيدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the shaitan frightens you with poverty and orders you to commit fahsha, to commit wrong, to commit sins and evil deeds, because he says, unless you do this, you will become poor. And Allah says, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you forgiveness from Himself and His bounty, Question is, whose promise do we believe? The promise of shaitan or the promise of Allah? I'm not saying whose promise do we say we believe, because obviously as Muslims, nobody will say I believe the promise of shaitan. But the actual proof of belief is action, not words. We can say anything we want. What do our words convey? And what do our actions convey? That gap is the issue. So what do our actions convey? Do our actions convey that we believe the promise of shaitan? Or do our actions convey that we believe the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the first driver of the hunger of the body is fear. The second driver of the hunger of the body is greed. What is greed? Greed is the search for more. To own more, to have more, to consume more. Greed for more and more possessions by people who do not understand that possessions add cost, not value. Possessions add cost, not value. Greed which convinces you that value as a human being, your value as a human being depends on what you possess. Or actually in this illusory world, what you appear to possess. Whether you actually own that thing or not. That somehow the person with a bigger house or a bigger car or more cars or more houses, branded clothing and so on, is a better human being, more worthy of being respected and more worthy of being deferred to. Illusion. Illusion. In this illusory world, illusion is all important, not the reality. Nobody even asks, in this world, nobody even asks, does he own that Mercedes or does his bank? Does he own that house or does his bank? Nobody asks this question. In the US, when I used to live in the US, one day my brother-in-law and I were going somewhere and I found that the car had less gas. I used to drive a S-Class 350 Mercedes. So we were in the masjid. I told him, I said, let me go get some gas, fill up the gas, because the gas station was in the opposite direction. So I said, let me go fill up the gas and come and then we can leave. He said, okay. So I drove and I went to the gas station. As I was pumping gas, this beat up old Chevy comes. This is white American guy in his absolutely bashed up old car. He comes and he parks behind the Mercedes. And then he sort of puts his hands like this and he walks all around the car completely while I'm pumping gas. And then he comes up to me, he says, man, must be nice to be rich, huh? So I turned out to him, I said, you don't have to be rich to drive this car. He said, what? I said, you don't have to be rich to drive this car. I mean, owning a car and driving a car are two different things, right? Mercedes and Rolls Royces and BM 700 series and so on are wasted in this country. Because those cars are meant for the pleasure of the driver. They're wasted in this country because anyone who has the money to own a Mercedes sits in the back seat. Now the issue is the appearance of wealth in this world. The appearance of wealth, you know, we call high net worth individuals. I'm a great believer in language. Because language communicates what's in the heart. And language changes what's in the heart. Language expresses attitude and language changes attitude. We don't have the time for me to explain all that here, but sometime when we meet in a different gathering, I will explain how that happens. It's not for nothing that the West is totally focused on language. Because language changes, stirs the mind. Language changes the way you think. So see the words used. High net worth individual. What does it mean? Somebody with more money. Someone who has more money. The worth of an individual is his dollar value. If the worth of an individual is dollar value, just today's news, Steve Jobs has pancreatic cancer and they say he has 6 weeks to live. Of course, neither they know that nor he knows that. But they say he has 6 weeks to live. Steve Jobs alone has more money than every single one of you in this room put together. You think you are rich? Steve Jobs has all your money plus 10 times more. And I'm sure that Steve Jobs will give all of that for that pancreatic cancer to go away. What's his choice? His choice is to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep all those billions and go to Jannah. Nobody said you have to give it up. You don't have to give it up. And I'll tell you how you can get the Jannah and your money. Money is a beautiful thing to have, provided you know what to do with it. If you're doing stupid things with it, then that's what lights the fire. So somebody must take the message to Steve Jobs. Then. I was telling someone, get me an appointment, I'll pay for the ticket myself. So, the appearance of wealth is more important in this world than actual wealth. The appearance of wealth. You must look as if you are rich. I went to my travel agent and I said, I want this ticket. So he gave me one figure which I looked at and I said, what kind of thing is it? So expensive. He said, Jio sahab, wo business class ka fare. Are main bola, yaar, tum business class ka kon bola tumhare ko doge? So he turned around and laughed. May Allah give him Jannah. Hamare Nasir ke baba. Bhozwan, mere ko bole, yaar bhai, aap business class kaise dikhte hai? Is waqt unhe wage fare diya gaya. Appearance of wealth. Whether you have it or not, doesn't matter. But you know the problem with all this illusion, living in an illusion world, deception is the name of the game. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these terms. I'm not using my terms. I'm telling you, I'll show you the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it deception. This deception is the name of the game. Deceiving others, but in fact deceiving yourself. And then allowing this self-inflicted deception to draw upon itself anxiety and stress and heartburn and jealousy and envy and cardiac illness and insomnia. All of these are what are they called? Lifestyle illnesses. So who told you to choose that lifestyle? Who told you to choose that lifestyle? Deception, which ensures that since you are only focused on more and more and comparing with others, you are condemned not even to enjoy what you have. See the thing of this, the irony of this. See the irony of this. I have a beautiful brand new Toyota Camry car. One of the best cars ever built. But I sit in it and I'm looking at somebody else's Mercedes and I'm saying, kya gaadi, ye gaadi, wo gaadi. So what you have, also you can't enjoy because you are focused on what somebody else has. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. That's the biggest curse in the sense of, you know, that if you are focused on this greed business, it doesn't even let you enjoy what you have. So greed drives the individual to work harder and harder to accumulate more and more possessions, experience more and more sensations, to run from sensation to sensation, from possession to possession, searching for happiness. But you know what? Happiness doesn't come because happiness is not there. But the man never gives up until he meets his end. There's another aspect to greed. It's not simply the desire to own more, but to own more than the next person. So it's not about having a car as a means of transportation, but as a means of turning heads. It's not a matter of wearing jewelry to a party, but about turning others green with envy at the size of the rocks that are hanging from your ears. It's not about wearing a watch to tell the time, it is about wearing a watch to tell the world who you are. Somebody who doesn't even have the intelligence to invest in an earning asset, and who has the intelligence to put money in a depreciating asset. But you know, there's a rider to all this. Illusions are not free. The rider is that illusions are not free. 25% of the US population, and these are World Bank figures, 25% of the US population, 10.8 million people, owe more on their mortgages than their homes are actually worth. So why are they paying their mortgage? So you might say, well, I will stop paying my mortgage. But you know what happens if you stop paying your mortgage? Illusion. Illusion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this race this race to have more than the next person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-haakumut takasur hatta zurtumul maqabir. Allah says, this race, this mutual rivalry for piling up of worldly things diverts you, leaves, takes you away from Allah. And this will end only when you go into your qabr, when you go into your grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the only thing that fills the belly of the man is the mud of the qabr which goes into his mouth. May Allah give us a sense to understand this before we actually land in that place, because that place is qat'i, that is going to happen. We don't know who will go there first. We all know that one day we all go there. A time will come when you will all be sitting in this masjid and there will be somebody else delivering the khutbah, and you will think to yourself that one day Yavar Bhai used to talk, because Yavar Bhai that day will be in his qabr. I hope on that day you will pray for my forgiveness, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against this destructive competition and told us what real success is. In Surah Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولحو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Allah said, no, اعلموا. It's a saygh of hukum. Allah saying, no, that the life of this world is only play and amusement, and pomp and mutual boasting amongst yourselves, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. And this is like it is like vegetation after rain, the growth of which is pleasing to the tiller, to the farmer. Afterward, it dries up, and you see it turning yellow, then it becomes straw. But in the hereafter, in the akhirah, there is severe torment for those who disbelieve. And there is forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His good pleasure for those who believe. May Allah include us all among those. And Allah says, whereas the life of this dunya is only deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us that real success is not in accumulating stuff that you have to leave behind one day anyway, or in competing with others in worldly things, but to focus on maximizing the return on investment that we make in our akhirah, both good and bad. And therefore we have to see how that return on investment can all be good. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everyone will taste death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Everything, everyone and everything which is alive will die. And only on the day of judgment will you be paid in full for what you did. Some of the return on our investment and of our deeds we get in this dunya itself, both good and bad. But the actual full payment is in the akhirah. And Allah says that only the one who is saved from the hellfire and entered into the Jannah is the one who has succeeded. Faqad faz. And then Allah again reminds us and says, the hayat of this dunya, life of this dunya is only a deception. So as I told you, the hunger of the body is driven by two things. What are they? Fear and greed. Let's look at the other hunger, the hunger of the soul. The hunger of the soul is also driven by two things. It's driven by love and by hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the soul seeks closeness to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who stand up and get off their beds in the middle of the night and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between two things. What are the two things? خوفا وطمعا. Between the fear of Allah and the hope for His blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked that action so much that Allah said, if they only knew what I have prepared for them of their reward, they would be very, very happy. It would be the coolness of their eyes. What is this hunger of the soul and why is it there? The hunger of the soul arises out of the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah said, we have not created the human beings and the jinn for anything other than our worship. The soul seeks to fulfill what it has been created for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't worry, we are not asking you to feed us and feed others. We feed you with our power. I'm not doing a tafsir of the ayat, I'm doing a very quick translation. If you go into the tafsir of this ayah, the fact of Allah being Razzaq in this one ayah has been reiterated 7 times. The soul therefore seeks to fulfill the purpose of its own creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about, therefore when the soul fulfills the purpose of this creation, it attains peace, it attains harmony. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. For whom is this? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ تُوبَ لَهُمْ وَحُسْنُ مَآبٍ. Allah said, those who believe and those whose hearts find rest and peace in the remembrance of Allah. Verily, the remembrance of Allah is the place in which the hearts find peace. Where is the peace of mind, the peace of qalb? In the zikr of Allah. Why? Because the human being was created for the zikr of Allah. So only when you plug in to the source can you get peace. And then Allah said, for whom is this? Allah says, this is for those who believe and who do good deeds. For them is tuba. Tuba is a tree, the Jannah. Allah said, for them it's a beautiful place, a final return. Now, take these two things. The hunger of the body and the hunger of the soul. Problem happens when we seek to fulfill the hunger of the soul by things that are meant for the hunger of the body. It's like looking at beautiful 3D images of a chocolate sundae when you are very hungry. What does it do to your hunger? Increases it. It doesn't take it away. So you say, I'm now even more hungry. So what am I going to do? I'm going to look at this 7-layer chocolate cake. Beautiful 3D image. And when that is done, then now more and more and more food. Each one more beautiful than the other. 3D image completely turned around. Look at it from the front, back, everything. What does it do to the hunger? Increases. Can the pictures of food, no matter how brilliant those are, can they ever fill your belly? Then how can this dunya and the chasing after it fill the hunger of the soul? They're two different things. They're two completely different things. And that is where, so I always wonder, you know, why intelligent people don't even hear and understand what they themselves say. You ask someone, why do you shop so much? They say, no, this is therapy. Subhanallah. If you say it is therapy, you are owning up to the fact that you are sick. Healthy people don't go for therapy. You ever heard of anybody who is healthy going for therapy? Only a sick person goes for therapy. So if you are sick and you need therapy, that therapy is in the mall? Ajib. Ajib. We don't even think. We use terms. We just use language like parrots. We just say something. We don't even know what we are saying. We don't understand what we are saying. So what do? We chase after sensation. More and more sensation. Bigger and bigger thriller. More and more stuff. Higher and higher potency. Stranger and stranger things that we like to do. And we forget one thing. And what is that? The viciousness of the hangover is directly proportional to the high. The bigger the kick you got, the more it hurts. No? Get a nice kick with a steel-toed mining boot. You'll remember it for about a month. That's my assumption. Nobody ever did that to me, so I don't know. You must say, I was saying it with such authority, do you get it once? I did a funny thing. Google knows everything, yes? So I did a list of celebrity suicides on Google. Go do it yourself. Just type in celebrity suicides. See the names. Ajeeb, I don't know how people think information is knowledge. Information is not knowledge. Information is not knowledge. It's what you do with information which is knowledge. And you got to do a lot more than that to get anywhere near wisdom. Celebrity suicides, look at the names. What is suicide? Suicide is the ultimate expression of complete and total despair. Total. Absolute bottom of the pit of depression is suicide. That's why it's haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made suicide haram. There's no reason for suicide. You can't say, well, this suicide is haram. No, suicide haram, khalas. Total and complete despair. And who is doing that suicide? Somebody who's a global celebrity big enough to make it to Google. Big enough to make it to Google. Can you imagine? Why? They got all the money in the world. They got people chasing them. They got all the fame in the world. You type their name, you get 50 pages on Google. And the person blows their brains out, or they take a dive, or whatever. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Did you think about that? Did you say, well, how come this person has all this money and all this fame and whatever, and it did not give them happiness, and I am chasing on the same path. I am going on the same path. How am I going to get this happiness? When that person could not get it on the same path, obviously this road does not lead to happiness. Why don't we think? Why don't we think? We are supposed to be intelligent, right? At least we think so. So why don't we demonstrate it for ourselves? So that somebody other than my mother will believe it. I mean, you know, your mothers will believe it. Most intelligent person in the world. So why can't you find happiness if you chase behind happiness by accumulating worldly possessions? Why? Because you know there is a rule. And the rule is that to find something, there are two conditions. One condition is that thing must actually exist. And the second condition is, it must exist where you are searching for it. Supposing I tell you, in this room, please find an elephant. Can you find an elephant in this room? No. But I tell you, elephants exist. I mean, do you doubt the fact that elephants exist? No. But they don't exist here. There's no elephant in this room. And I'm telling you, find an elephant in this room. So a thing must exist, and it must exist in the place you are looking for it. Two conditions. Does happiness exist? Of course. Of course happiness exists. But is it in the shopping mall? Is it in all the stuff that you are chasing in life? So you got to go look for it where it exists. And happiness exists in two places. One, I told you already, Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Happiness exists when you are standing before your Rabb in the night and you are reciting to him his kalam, and you are aware in your heart, in your mind, there is a sense and awareness to know that he is there and he is listening. And then when you go and make sujood, your body is on the earth and your soul is before his arsh. Because his Habib Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when the slave makes sajda, he makes sajda before Al-Arshur Rahman. That connection is that happiness. Happiness is another place. Happiness is in the hearts of others. You know, there are these fairy tales, and I'm sure you must have read it. They are the invincible heroes. And usually it's some evil person, this great guy, who can never be killed. He can't be killed. And you know why he can't be killed? Because his soul actually is in a bird which is in a cage. So there is this whole story of this bird in a cage. So this parrot is in the middle of this castle. And there's this guy who's doing all kinds of stuff, and hero after hero is trying to fight him, and they can't fight him, and he kills them, and they can't kill him. Until suddenly one day somebody discovers, you know what, the soul is not here, his soul is in that parrot. So go kill the parrot, he dies. And somebody goes and kills the parrot, and this man drops dead. You must have heard these fairy tales, right? Subhanallah, imagine, the human imagination is such that even in a fairy tale which we are writing, we are creating, we do not give ourselves immortality. Subhanallah, Ajeeb. Even in a fairy tale, you must know that kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Subhanallah, when will we learn? So where is our happiness? Our happiness is not in ourselves. Our happiness is in the hearts of others. Our happiness is in wiping away the tears of bereavement. Our happiness is in wiping away the tears of fear and pain. In the kindling of hope in the hearts that are sunk in despair. In putting back the smiles on the faces of the orphans and the widows and the men left alone, who believe that there is no one in the world to support them. Happiness lies in going and standing next to that person who is being oppressed, so that the oppressor knows that oppression is neither cheap nor easy. Happiness is paying for the education of people whose only hope in the world is to open that door. Happiness is in feeding the poor and in tending to the sick. Happiness is in all of these things, in extending your hand to lift somebody who has fallen so that he may stand up and walk again. None of those things are inside ourselves. They are all inside the people of the world. And that is where our happiness lives. You want to find happiness? Go look for it in the right place. You want to find happiness? Go look for it in the right place. Otherwise, like looking for an elephant in this room, you are condemned to failure. You never find it until you go into your grave. Look for it where it exists. And that is why the hadith of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, spend on others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hadith al-Qudsi, he said, Allah said, spend on others so I can spend on you. He said, spend on others so that I can spend on you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you go to tend to a sick person in the night and 70,000 angels will pray for your forgiveness until next morning. And he said, go to tend to a sick person in the morning and 70,000 angels will pray for your forgiveness till the night. Subhanallah, if you understand the meaning, realize the meanings of this hadith, tending to one sick person should be sufficient for the whole of our lifetime. I mean, 70,000 angels' dua is worth something, right? Subhanallah. I am reminded of what Rasulullah said, where he said, the peak of Iman is to speak fearlessly before the tyrant. Fear no one other than Allah. I am reminded of the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, if you fear poverty, give sadaqah. If you are poor, if you are in poverty or you fear poverty, give sadaqah. Strange sounding advice, eh? You already don't have money. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, give what you have. Subhanallah, I'm already poor, man. I mean, you know, give me a break. I need to take. But you're saying, no, don't take. You want to have more? Give what you have. Strange advice. Until you think about the principles of agriculture. You know what are the principles of agriculture? And why am I talking agriculture? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran is filled with agriculture and agricultural examples. What is the principle of agriculture? The principle of agriculture, I'm going to make it very simple. Number one. What you have in your hand is the harvest. What leaves your hand and goes into the ground is your seed. If you keep what is in your hand, then you will only have what you have, and that will decrease as you consume it rapidly. If what you have you let go and plant into the ground, you will get a harvest which will obviously be far more than what you could have held in your hand. And you will eat and the world will eat with you. Simple principle of agriculture. And what is the dalil in the Quran? Allah said, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلٍ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, the likeness, the similarity of the one who spends his wealth in the path of Allah is like the one who plants one grain of corn. That grain grows and the plant has 7 ears of corn. Saad bhutte. Each one of them has 100 grains. So he planted one and he got back how much? 700 times. And then, this is the kalam of the king. This is the kalam of Al-Malikul Haqq. La ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. So after he has done the counting, for us poor people who cannot understand unless we count, he adds his piece. And what is his piece? Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. And he says, Allah will increase whatever he wants according to his grace and majesty. Allah is not bound by this 700 and whatnot and whatnot, subhanAllah. Allah says, this is for you to understand. You got small mind. Unless we count, you don't understand. So we count for you. And even that count, 1:700. We are not talking percentages here. 1:700. And Allah says, forget all that counting. Allah yudhaifu man yasha. Allah will give in keeping with his majesty and grace. When the king gives, he doesn't count. When the king gives, he doesn't count. Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqq. Who is the king? The true king? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqq. La ilaha illa hu Rabbul Arshil Kareem. My brothers and sisters, remember that if you want to hold, your hands have to be empty. Because only an empty hand can hold. Experiment. Do it now. Close both your hands in fists and try to hold something. The closed hand can't hold anything. It's only the empty hand which can hold. So let go. Let go. Give. Give. Because one day, it will be taken from you anyway. The choice is, do you want to plant that seed and get a harvest? Or one day that seed will be taken from you anyway. We have no choice in that matter. One day it goes. No matter how much it was. And subhanAllah, may Allah give us the tawfiq to understand and see with our what and take lessons from what our own eyes have seen. May Allah give us the tawfiq. So sooner something leaves your hand, the sooner something will leave the heavens to find you. So that you become the conduit by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty goes to his slaves. And you know what? If you decide to block that, if you decide to hold, the bounty of Allah and what Allah gives to the slaves does not change. It just finds another route. It just finds another route. Allah will bypass you and use somebody else. What has to go to the slaves of Allah will go to the slaves of Allah. The choice we have is, Ya Allah, use me, or Ya Allah, use somebody else. Our choice. If you want Allah to use you, make sure the pipe is unblocked. Make sure the pipe does not get blocked. Remain the pipe through which water flows is always wet. Always wet. But you block the pipe, not only will the water stop, but the pipe will get dry. Our choice. So my question to myself and to you, my brothers and sisters, is which is better? Fear and greed or love and hope? Think about it for yourself. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Before we get up for sunnah and so on, I wish to make dua and I ask you to make dua for 3 of our lovely brothers. Alim bhai, who is not well, and Habib bhai, who is not well, he is in hospital and he has had angioplasty, and inshallah he is well now, but still he is in hospital. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him shifa wal kamila wal ajila, give him a complete and quick cure. And Alim bhai is not well, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve his pain and to bring him back on his feet as quickly as, I don't say as quickly as possible, because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything is possible. So we say as quickly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, in the morning, tomorrow, inshallah. And then we make dua also for the father, Hadi bhai, the father of Professor Mubin Rafat, who is also not well, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him complete shifa and to give him the best of health and to cure the illnesses of all these three of our lovely brothers. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give help to their families, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for them. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.